received the Avda Vidya, and the Avda Vidya reads as follows. I am Mbaniseni David Mahlowe, an adult male of 42 years of age, with a domicile of 10 Rocket Street, Staithes, Nelspruit. I'm a member of the National Assembly for the 5th Parliament of the Republic of South Africa and a Minister of State Security appointed during this 5th administration. On the 21st of August 2014, I was in the chamber after a short adjournment of the plenary session during the President's oral reply. With my colleague, Honorable Dr. Siyabonga Gcwele, we approached fellow parliamentarians, Honorable Malema and Shivambu, who are the leaders of the economic freedom fighters. We tried to request the two members to cooperate and leave the chamber to avoid any unnecessary scuffle with the parliamentary protective services. The two indicated and flatly refused our plea and vowed that even if the session had to resume, they will continue where they left off. Myself and Honorable Gcwele decided to leave the two when it became clear that our plea was not favorably received. Then signed by Honorable Mahlowe, it's signed at Luanda, Angola, on the 19th of October 2014, and stamped, of course, in the South African Embassy of Luanda. That's the affidavit that is in front of me, and a copy, of course, will then be forwarded to Mr. Van Voorn. Honorable members, can we then recognize Mr. Van Voorn? It looks like honorable members wants to raise something. Let me start with Filtane and followed by Twan.
Thank you, Chair. I suggest we do not enter into any discussion on this affidavit at this point in time. Main reason being that we have yet to establish who in Angola has got authority to allow themselves to be deposited with a an affidavit.
Honorable Filtane, that has never been an indication. I'm sure you heard that I was moving to Van Voorn to proceed with the witnesses. There is no discussion on that one. We're just reading it into the record as we have agreed at the back office. And I don't really think that there's any danger. There's no discussion on it. Is that orderly? You covered Honorable Tuan.
Chair, I need to get clarity. I don't know if I'm covered. If you say you're just reading it for the record, what are the implications of such a reading? Thanks.
Well, honorable members, I'm not sure whether I should really reopen the thing because we have actually agreed that this is accepted from the ministers, but you need an opportunity to cross question them, and that was the agreement. You see, so it's, if that is now what we agreed, I think can we proceed? I recognize Mr. Van Voorn to proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next witness is Ms. Dlakude, the Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority Party.
Thank you. I think she can be called to come in. Can we check that mobile mic is necessary? If it is no longer necessary, so that it doesn't intimidate her. Just have to check the mic there on the desk, whether it's working. If it is working, then the mobile one is not necessary. No, the other one. Put it on. Do you need the mobile one? Because all of them are working. Okay. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, honorable Dagood. Honorable members, Rule 138 of the Assembly Rules requires me, prior to the witness giving evidence, to inform her as follows. Honorable Dagood, please be informed that by law you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily all the questions lawfully put to you, or to produce any document that you are required to produce in connection with the subject matter of the inquiry, notwithstanding that the answer or document could incriminate you or expose you to criminal or civil proceedings or damages. You are, however, protected in that the evidence given under oath or affirmation before a House or committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside Parliament, except in criminal proceedings concerning a charge of perjury or a charge relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. Honorable Dagood, do you have any objection to taking an oath or making an affirmation?
No, Chairperson.
Do you want to make an affirmation or take an oath?
I'll take an oath.
Okay. Honorable Dagood, you will have to say the following. I swear that the testimony or evidence I'm going to give is the truth and only the truth, so help me God.
I swear that the testimony or evidence I'm going to give is the truth and only the truth, so help me God.
Thank you very much, and for having done so, I now recognize Mr. Falfore to proceed with evidence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Madam Klakule. Thank you for your time this afternoon. The reason why you are here has been explained. The committee would like to clarify some issues with you arising out of 21, or rather in relation to 21 August 2014. If you can just confirm the position that you occupy within Parliament and its structures.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm the Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority Party.
Thank you. Were you present in Parliament on the day in question, and that day is 21 August 2014?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I was.
As Deputy Chief Whip, and in overall terms, before we get into the detail, what would have been your role, your responsibility in Parliament as a Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority Party?
I'll be brief on that one. My responsibility is to ensure that there is order in the House and also to uphold the decorum of the House. Thank you, Chair.
On the day in question, was the Chief Whip of the Majority Party present in the House? And if not, do you know why the Chief Whip was not there?
The Chief Whip of the Majority Party was not in the House. He was on sick leave.
Thank you, Mrs. Tlakude. Oh, yes, Tlakude. The next question question is, there was a suspension, yes, of the House on 21 August 2014. The Speaker announced the first suspension, which was for a few minutes. It is not disputed that the Speaker called for a suspension of some 3 minutes, which actually then went on for 7 minutes. And then there was another suspension, much longer. I think it went on for roughly 35. Yeah, there was a longer suspension. Either way, the committee has heard evidence, or the committee was given an indication that there was a meeting of chief whips that took place during the suspension. If you can just explain whether you have any knowledge of that and what your role was in relation to such a meeting.
Thanks, Chair. I'm the one who convened that meeting of the Chief Whips Forum, because it is a consultative meeting which involves all the chief whips of parties that are represented in Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
In relation to the events that took place on the day, what led you to convene that meeting or to call that meeting?
As chief whips, we consult each other on any matter that concerns the House. So it was my responsibility to do the same, to consult these other chief whips of other political parties. Thank you.
Thank you. And then if you could just explain to the committee, the chairman and the committee, what transpired in that meeting of the chief whips.
Chairperson, in that meeting, as chief whips of parties represented in Parliament, all of us, we were very concerned of the events that unfolded in the House. So we spoke in one voice, of which we agreed that we cannot be held at ransom by a group of people or members of the EFF. So what we did, what we agreed upon, is that we're going to proceed with the House. So that was our agreement. We're going to proceed with the business of the House, yes.
And after that agreement had been reached, what are the steps that you took? And if it is within your knowledge, what are the steps that your colleagues took also as chief whips?
We got an advice while we were in that meeting, because I was sitting with two secretaries to Parliament. So Advocate Pindela advised us that the security was saying we must remove our members on the corridors so that they can be able to move those members of the EFF out of the House. So we agreed that we were going to move our members from the doors of the chamber so that the security can do what they wanted to do to remove those members from the chamber, then we'll be able to proceed with the business of the House.
Briefly put, what was the venue of that meeting of the chief whips?
The chief whips boardroom, V16.
Thank you. And after you say there was the decision made to remove members from the corridors, I think, what practical steps did you and other chief whips then take?
We went back towards the chamber, and I was on my way to brief the Speaker of the outcome of that meeting.
And upon going back to the chamber, were you able to carry out the decision that had been reached by way of removing members from the corridor, maybe to another place? Or if you can just explain to the committee what actually then transpired.
walking towards the chamber, we could see that members were moving inside the chamber, all our members, all members of different political parties were moving back into the chamber. So I checked where the speaker was, and only to find that she was already in the house sitting on her chair. So I went to her to brief her of the outcome of the meeting and also to know exactly what was happening. So she managed to tell me that she decided to reconvene the house so that she can be able to adjourn it, to avoid the members from being removed forcefully from the house. That is what she told me.
From you having called that meeting of the chief whips, or maybe just a preliminary question, in calling the meeting of the chief whips and asking your colleagues to meet in the chief whips forum at boardroom V, or the chief whips boardroom at V16, how practically did you do that? Were they easily accessible to you? If you can just give us a bit more detail on that, please.
As chief whips, we have this chief whips forum, of which we'll have our meetings every Wednesdays from 10 to 11. So it's a practice that we do, because we consult each other on the business of the day or the business of the week. So we always do that, yes. And the venue is always accessible for all of us. That's where we usually meet.
On the day in question, on 21 August 2014, there was a suspension of the sitting for a particular period, and you've now informed the committee that you then decided that you should call a meeting of the chief whips. I know it might sound obvious, Madam, and if I'm repeating, please bear with me. What practical steps did you take in pulling chief whips together and getting them to meet in the chief whips boardroom on that day, 21 August 2014?
After the speaker suspended the house for the second time, the longer period. So I went to the speaker to inform her that I was going to call the chief whips forum. So we were in Mr. Tasso's office. After that, I went out and all the chief whips were there. Mr. Steenhuisen was the first one that I called. Then I went around to call the others because they were standing at the corridors.
Thank you. Now back to the point at which you said the speaker then informed you that she had decided to reconvene the house for the purposes of adjourning it. And I think you said, the speaker also said that this was to avoid members of the EFF being removed forcibly. You recall the evidence you gave a few moments ago in relation to that. What I would like to do now is, before I show you a part of the video footage, you said there would have been every Wednesday between 10 and 11 a meeting of the Chief Whips Forum in which various issues are discussed. Was there such a meeting on the Wednesday before the 21st of August?
Yes, we had a Chief Whips Forum and all the parties were represented in that meeting.
Was there anything in that meeting of the Chief Whips Forum that gave a clue as to frustrations that people might have had that would lead to something untoward happening on the sitting that took place on 21 August 2014?
There was none.
What I would like to do at this point is to ask Mr. Adonis to play a certain portion of the video footage, ma'am, and then for the committee and for yourself to watch that part, and then I'd just like to ask you some questions in relation to it. The footage that I will ask Mr. Adonis to play is really not long. It starts at that part of the clip, which is at 23 minutes and 40 seconds, and ends at 25 minutes and 40 seconds. Thank you, Mr. Adonis. Ms. Tlakude, the video footage shows, focuses on, depicts various conversations, I suppose, between people, and then it appears to me that there is a part of the footage that shows you standing next to the speaker. I think it's on the speaker's right, and you then move forward and you're seen in conversation or engaging with a group of people. And then the video footage shows you walking across the floor of the chamber in another direction. If you can just talk the committee, the chairman and the committee, through what was taking place at that time, please.
That was the time I was talking to the speaker. Then there were other members who were standing there, and you can see also the table staff were there. So these other members were telling us that we must take our seats as the speaker has called, has decided to reconvene the house. So by the time when I walk across the house, I think one chief whip was talking to me, was asking me what exactly was happening. So I had to go to that honorable member and explain what happened. What was happening at that time? Thanks.
Thank you. And then I'm nearly at the end of my questions. In the meeting, of the chief whips between you and your colleagues in room V16. Was there anybody who had proposed that the South African police services must be called in to remove the members of the EFF?
No. We were not discussing the issue of the security or the police. We were trying to find ourselves how to proceed with the business of the house. Yes.
Thank you. And in the part of the footage that you've just described now, where you're seen standing close to next to the speaker and then moving across on your way to one of the other chief whips, at that point, was there any discussion that you were part of where it was suggested or you heard somebody issue an instruction for the South African police services to be called in to the chamber to come and remove the members of the EFF?
No.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Glakude. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for the witness at this time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Van Voorn. Honorable members, I think then it is the opportunity for you to actually ask for further clarity on the evidence led. I recognize Honorable Lotrit. You can proceed, because it looks like other members are happy.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like the Honorable Glakude just to confirm this for me. I want to make absolutely sure that I heard correctly that at the Chief Whips Forum, the meeting you had, there was agreement that you would proceed with the session that afternoon, that you would not be held ransom by the events of the afternoon, by a specific party, but that you would proceed and that you then went to the speaker to inform her of the decision of the chief whips.
Yes.
Yeah, I can proceed to respond. Proceed.
Sorry, Chairperson. Yes, what we discussed was that we are not going to be held ransom by members of the EFF. As soon as they are removed from the house, we are going to proceed with the business of the day. So that's the message I went back to inform the speaker.
Honorable Fildan.
Thank you, Chair. We appreciate the sacrifice you made to come all the way to be with us this late afternoon. And we understand the role that you tried to play on the day, especially when you said you want to make sure that the decorum of the house, you know, is maintained. However, my concern, madam, is whether actually when you went back to the speaker and you were made to understand that she had decided in the meantime to reconvene the house, given that set of circumstances, how would you then define your role as chief whips vis-a-vis her role and power to reconvene? Because you haven't yet heard, according to what you've just told us, that you had decided that the house must reconvene. But when you go back, you had consulted with her before going out and meet as chief whips, but when you come back, you find that she's already decided to reconvene anyway. Now, how do you reconcile your role as chief whips vis-a-vis that of his in terms of authority to proceed the way she did? Thank you.
Let me ask her to proceed, to respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Chief Whips Forum doesn't take decisions or make decisions that are binding to the speaker. The speaker is the presiding officer. So we just consult each other and try to sell whatever we agreed upon to the speaker. So That's it. We don't have powers to make decisions, binding decisions, as the chief whips.
Honorable Killian.
Chairperson, thank you to the Deputy Chief Whip, and yes, indeed, we are all grateful that she made the effort to be here. Chairperson, we have heard what the Honorable Deputy Chief Whip has said, and that is also in line with Rule 221, which makes the Chief Whip's forum a consultative forum of matters, of coordination of matters for which the whips are responsible, and B, which the speaker may consult when appropriate. So it means that ultimately it is a consultative forum and it has no standing in terms of decision making. But I would just like to understand if she could perhaps share with us if there was any direction given in that meeting of how the chief whips felt they would advise the speaker to proceed given the tense circumstances there. Was there any idea of how they would move, how the session should be moved to conclude and to do its business that afternoon? Was there any suggestion that any forces should be called in, etc.? Was it just the message that they wanted to convey that there was unanimity in the ranks of the chief whips that they cannot be held to ransom by one party? Can she perhaps just explain that to us?
Yeah, I will proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I can say is that all of us were upset by what happened in the House. As members, as honorable members of Parliament, we are expected to behave in a manner that is acceptable. We have the rules that guide us. We have the conventions that are there in the House that assist in running the House, and also the procedures that are there. So we are expected to respect those. So in that meeting, before we go to that meeting, the speaker, when she adjourned the House, when she suspended the House for that period, she called for security. We went to that meeting knowing very well that the parliamentary security people will come and remove the EFF members, so that we can go back, because we have a responsibility, all of us as members representing different political parties, to change the lives of the people out there. That is our role. So we felt that we couldn't be held back by people who decided to do what they did in that House. So that is all that we were worried about, that we really need to do our job as expected. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Twala.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Dawood, you are seeing on the video with a lot of people, naturally the precursor to you leaving to convene with the other chief whips. Among them is Minister Mahlobo, Mr. Mthembu, and quite a number. Can you enlighten us on their roles in relation to the decision that was ultimately agreed upon, that the Chief Whips World Forum would have to be convened with a view to getting things started? Thanks.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, to intervene at this stage. I'm not sure whether this is a point of order or just a correction, but there seems to be a suggestion in the question that the Honourable Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority Party is seen in the company of others, the Honourable Mashlobo, the Honourable Mthembu, before she leaves the chamber to convene the meeting of the chief whips. I was at pains to go through the questions rather slowly and methodically and in the ordinary fashion that one does. The putting of evidence on the record is time consuming. The Honourable Deputy Chief Whip has explained very clearly that that interaction which I asked Mr. Jerome Adonis to play, being the interaction as recorded at 23 minutes 40 seconds up to and including 25 minutes 40 seconds, took place after the meeting of the Chief Whips. That is a fact that is not open to any confusion or any other suggestion. It's a rather straightforward fact. In fairness to any witness, if a question is posed as to a supposed fact with a supposed factual context, it would have to be preceded with an accurate factual context.
Okay, I think that correction is right. I think it is just simply that connection that the Honourable Member is making to say whether those specific members have had any influence in the decision they've taken. And as you are indicating that that interaction was after already the decision has been taken in the Chief Whip's forum, therefore automatically then the influence of that particular interaction at that time is not there to the decision that has been taken in the Chief Whip's forum, because it is after the fact. You can continue, of course, with this correction. The correction is sustained. Continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Probably would have to refresh the video for me to refresh my memory. That was my observation based on the video.
Okay.
So I don't know whether the video, the way in which it kind of reflects events.
Well, Honourable Twan, when the question was put to the witness, was that you are seen moving with certain members and then eventually you walk on the floor of the chamber to the other side. Then the witness says that is the time which was coming from the speaker, and then another chief whip who was actually asking some question about their decision that they have taken, then she was going to explain, because what was happening was not the same as what they agreed in the Chief Whip's forum. Now, another Chief Whip wanted an explanation, what is happening, because when she left the Chief Whip's forum, then her mandate was to go to the speaker to communicate their decision. But then what was happening in the house was different from what they expected. And then she said she walked across to go and address another chief whip that side. I think that is what that question was put to her, and then she responded like that. Okay. I think then you are right. Then the next person is Honorable Mwam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Then will be followed by Honorable Dagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would like to thank the Honourable Deputy Chief Whip for making time to come and actually meet with us to enlighten us on certain issues and her role in trying to bring about stability in the House. I appreciate the fact that the resolution at the Chief Whip's meeting was to continue with the business of the day. And you must have been taken aback when you walked into the house and then found that the speaker was already presiding there. And this is what she said. Honourable members, on that note, I can assure you that we were in consultation with all opposition parties, and agreement has been reached on how we should approach the issues of the rest of the work of this afternoon. Honourable members, I have been told that there are no sittings tomorrow. Therefore, we will proceed according to the programme of Parliament as has been announced. Honorable members, with those words, I adjourn the sitting of this House. And that was 1617. And this actually ran contrary to the feeling and the decision of the chief whips, which was plausible, that you, chief whips, you should not succumb to that kind of what was happening there. But I don't see any correlation with what, with the decision of the chief whips and the actions of the speaker. And the speaker says, we were in consultation, I suppose, with Chief Whip's forum. Could this be right, ma'am, that the speaker was actually, she was referring to you as a collective of Chief Whips, with which she said she was in consultation with? And the last one was that you actually said, ma'am, that when you left to the chief whip's meeting, the speaker had said that she would actually call the security to remove EFF members. In your recollection, did she actually call the parliamentary security? If so, did they actually remove members of the EFF? If not, why not?
Okay, I hope that you have kept up all the questions, because there have been too much actually. Attempt to respond to those that can respond will be reminded, those that you may have forgotten. We may proceed.
Chairperson, thank you. The speaker doesn't sit in the Chief Whip's forum. Like I said, the Chief Whip's forum doesn't make or take binding decisions. It's a consultative forum. So there was no way that the speaker could have been in that meeting that I was in. As for the security, yes, the speaker did call for the security. That is what I had. Because I was in that house, she called for security. So, and I also indicated that after the Chief Whip's forum, I went to the speaker, and she told me that she decided to reconvene the house and adjourn it, because she didn't want to see honorable members being forcefully removed from the chambers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. And can we now take Honorable Ndagane? Looks like Honorable Fulton is contesting. Okay, proceed.
Chair, two small questions. And then, of course, we are highly appreciative of the Deputy Chief Whip to attend. And then, thank you for that. Two small questions, really. Do you recall how many whips of other parties attended your Chief Whip's forum? Because as you know, that the Chief Whip of majority party, the biggest opposition, and all other whips, but in other areas, be one person party. Do you recall how many really attended in terms of the parties? And what was your understanding of what was happening in the House on the 21st of August this year? And of course, we have explained already what is the duty and the responsibility of the whips in ensuring that there's observance of the rules, and also the decorum of their house, the behavior and conduct of members. And I think we have explained that. And prior to the meeting of the Chief Whip's Forum preceding the sitting on the 21st, was the Chief Whip of the PFF or the third largest party in parliament in that region. Thanks.
You may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I can recall is that all the chief whips of political parties, whom we always meet with on every Wednesdays, they were all there, except for the EFF chief whip. He was not part, the chief whip was not, or his deputy were not part of that chief whip's meeting that we had on the day. So, on Wednesday, the 20th, yes, EFF was represented in that meeting because they are always represented in the Chief Whip's Forum. There's no Chief Whip's Forum that we had, and the EFF was not part of that meeting, except for the one on the 21st, because they were inside the chamber. So I called the Chief Whip's, we were outside the chamber. So, if you can, okay. The second question you asked me was about my understanding of the of what was happening on that day. Chairperson, this is my second term in Parliament as a member of Parliament. I've never experienced such a shocking, embarrassing situation that happened in that on that day. So to me, as an
Honorable Tuala.
Just for clarity's sake, I think this is matters of opinions and people's feelings on issues. I think we've been cautioned against in such. So I'm surprised that you are actually allowing it to work when you yourself asked us to desist from conducting ourselves as such. Thanks.
Honorable Tuala, you are definitely correct. You are definitely correct, and I was just about to say if it is possible, she may not answer that one. And then, she proceeded before I could say that. But I think if she can stop at that particular point that she has reached, I think will assist the process. I think Honorable Fildane was next.
Thank you, sir. This is about roll 56, page 19. In the event of grave disorder at a meeting, the presiding officer may adjourn the meeting or may suspend the proceedings for a period to be stated by him or her. Now, given that nowhere is the role or intervention of and by chief whips when such an occasion presents itself, why did you bother to meet as chief whips? Thank you.
It is just nice that the question has been crafted differently, but the answer, you already had it on a question crafted differently from the one that you. And I hope that our witness would be willing to repeat it. And you may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. As whips, we have the responsibility to ensure that we uphold the decorum of the house. And also we make sure that our members behave in a way that is respectful honorable as honorable members. So that is the reason I had to convene the Chief Whip's Forum so that I can get, we can share, if we shared, like we have already shared. We shared with them. The pain was for all of us. So we agreed that we are not going to allow this to happen. So that's the reason.
Let me just check whether there is any other member that want to speak. Because of course I was having Bongo on the list. Then Honorable Twala, you want to follow? Then we'll go back to Phil Dane. Bongo, take us.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks for coming, Deputy Chief Whip. I think my question flows from this last question, which you have answered it very well. So is it, am I correct if I would say that all the Chief Whips in the meeting in question were in agreement that the behavior which was displayed on the 21st was indeed in contempt of the rules of Parliament?
You may proceed.
Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable members, this specific question that is being put, I'm allowing it to continue because it explains why they convened that meeting. They cannot convene that meeting if they are not worried about anything. And that's why I just allowed Honorable Bongo to complete it. And here, like the question that we asked, what was the mood that Mr. Fanfore asked in the meeting, which was explained how those whips felt in that meeting. That's why I allowed it to continue, because it actually talks to the reason why that forum was convened. You may proceed.
Chairperson, the feeling was mutual. For the first time, maybe, in this fifth term, we spoke with one voice. All of us, the opposition, all parties represented in this parliament, the Chief Whips, we agreed on what we were talking about. The feeling was mutual. Thanks.
Okay, now it's Honorable Twala.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks to Mr. Fanfore for the correction. The consultation, Honorable Dakote, that you are seen in, I've now been corrected by Mr. Fanfore that it happened after the fact. But I will presume that is when you were coming back from the Chiefs' Forum with a view to reporting to the Speaker that you were of a view that the House should proceed with its business. Then you learned that no, a different decision had been taken after a consultation. Would I be correct to assume so? Thanks.
Proceed.
Chairperson, like I said, the Chief Whip's decisions are not binding to the Speaker. At the end of the day, the Speaker as the presiding officer is the one to take a decision on what to do. So I went back to the Speaker. I was coming from the Chief Whip's Forum. Then I went back only to find that the Speaker was sitting there. Then I convey the decision of the Chief Whip's Forum, which I didn't have a problem with her deciding to reconvene the House, because our decisions are not binding at all. Thank you.
Honorable Phil Dane.
Thank you, Chair. We're getting there. I'm very happy with the progress we're making.
You're getting there very slowly.
Okay. Thanks for the response to my initial question. I've got a better understanding of the virtually meaningless role of chief whips in a situation of this nature. Having said that, can you please advise us as a committee if you are aware of any procedural steps that are supposed to be taken in the event of such an occasion as we experienced, you know, on the 21st, happening, besides what is stated in Rule 56? Thank you.
Are we talking about future?
No. I'm talking about existing. Is there anything else that is provided for in the rules for dealing with the situation of this nation? The reason I'm asking this question, Chair, if I may expatiate, is because I find a lot of, for lack of a better expression, I would say institutions, you know, and so on, forums, working apparently, at cross purposes. The Sergeant at Arms explained her role here, you know.
Let's hear the
point of order. No point of order. So let's proceed. There's no point of order.
When did it happen?
No, there's no point of order. We were told, we agreed on that before, break. I proceed. Out of order, let me proceed.
It looks like there's a consensus that you want to proceed.
Yes, thank you very
much.
But
one thing for sure is that, honorable members, is that you have a responsibility to make my job easier.
Absolutely.
And you are not obliged. Just a responsibility to make my job easier by trying to play within the lines. Because when you crisscross, you make my life difficult to lead you. And therefore, I think the explanation that you have made, I think it should be much more clearer now on the question that you are raising. Because from my side, I thought that you were referring to procedure. If a similar incident happens like that, then I was having a problem with that. Because we are talking to a particular day and a particular activity that happens there, and what are the facts.
Yeah.
And then we should be getting evidence on those.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, not future planning or future ambitions.
No,
so
not at all.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah. Let me finish off.
She's
not
then you can
yet.
Respond.
Not yet.
Okay.
I have just one more sentence to say, which will
I want you to
respond.
Okay.
I noticed that there were a number of persons with authority and responsibility that seemed to have been working at cross purposes. It doesn't appear that there was coordination, you know, of the efforts to try to quell the situation. That's why I'm asking if there is, you know, procedure laid down for dealing with matters of this nature. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think she would respond, except that some of these things is upon us as members of parliament to understand the hierarchy of parliament and all the centers of power and how they relate to each other in parliament and understand the rules, how then they apply, and the limitations of power to specific sections of parliament in relation to the hierarchy in parliament. It is up to ourselves, because one thing for sure, if we are going to expect the witnesses actually to educate us how these relationships is, then it will be a bit of a problem, because we're supposed to be a little bit having higher ground on that than what we are actually presiding on. You can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Other than what is prescribed by the rules, procedures, and convention, I know nothing. I don't know if there are other steps. No. I'm guided by the rules, procedures, and conventions of the House. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ndaga, I can feel that now we are actually we have exhausted what we are supposed to do.
In fact, I wanted to make some proposals.
Okay.
But the point that I wanted to make first is assist the Honorable Khan. That is important for him just to take the rules, page 86 and 87, what is the chief risk for us, what is the duty, what is the responsibility, what is the function. It will be very important for us to do so. But the point, Chair, that I wanted the deputy chief to, I tried to listen attentively when she was saying the feeling was mutual. Was it mutual happy, mutual angry, mutual? What was the feeling mutual about? Were they angry about what happened? Were very happy about what happened? People say it's not, the feeling was just mutual. I thought it's important for her to assist us on that. And then just to ensure that we got a definitive way of putting it. That's what the point that I wanted to raise.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson. We were actually upset, all of us, in that meeting, because we felt that our rights were violated. Our rights of changing the lives of the people who deployed us in Parliament. We were actually upset. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I'm sure Honorable Nwango is struggling to be the last person to pose a question. You have the platform.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, not at all. I actually had said that I had exhausted what I wanted to ask. But I just want to concur with the witness and say that at least our chief whip was very angry in that the responses to the questions were not forthcoming. I just wanted to make that because I'm sure we have not called him in here to actually tell us how he felt about what was going on, but he shared his feelings with us at our caucus that was gravely concerned that questions by members are not treated seriously. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It looks like we have exhausted all the questions that you wanted to put. And we may still be having one question. The question is how significant it is that if you struggle to still put it or you go home with it, and then the significance of it, and then it's up to all members to evaluate. But it looks like for what we intended to do, I think we've been able to do. And then let me first check with Mr. Van Voor. You think that you won't be able to sleep if you have not actually made this question? You are on the floor. Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Honorable Nwango made a comment about his chief whip's report to caucus. Can the Honorable Deputy Chief Whip please inform the meeting if any such comments were made during the chief whip's forum meeting by the Honorable Chief Whip of the IFP?
No, he didn't.
Proceed.
He didn't.
Yeah, thanks. I think we were just simply trying to avoid getting into that one because we know it's that's what we're hearing now, and you can't help it. Honourable members, let's get Mr. Van Voor. If he has got further questions or further comments about the witness, you are compliant.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mercifully, I think for the members of your committee and yourself, I have no further questions, but I think it is appropriate that I thank the Honourable Deputy Chief Whip, who I think made the time available. She has travelled a significant distance and for many hours to be here this afternoon and to come and assist your committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the Honourable Deputy Chief.
Thank you very much. And,
that we hope they will actually empower us to be able to process all the evidence and the particular charges that are in front of us, and to be able to make a determination as expected by the House. And also, of course, to indicate that we do appreciate, because of the kind of pressure that you have put under, you know, to travel over that long distance to make this particular time. And we are thankful of that. And encouraging for everything that